Exodus chapter 1 and beginning at verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you that we live in a country that is free, where we can come and worship you as we see fit. And today we come today in that manner. Lord, we ask as our pastor comes today that you would use him, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power so that we can be better Christians, so we can live our lives better. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, that today they would settle that before they leave. God, meet with us in a special way here and all over this property today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me ask you again, as we do, to sit very still now, listen carefully. I'm going to ask you to not go out of the room unless there's a medical reason why you need to do so. The message will be brief this morning. Say, what does that mean? I'm not sure, but it sounds encouraging. And then ask you also to turn all your electronic devices off. Make sure that they're off, okay? Or turn to vibrate. Sometimes we assume that they are, and right in the middle of the service it goes off, and then it starts making noise, and then the ushers will come and beat you with a stick. And so we really don't want that to happen. So help us there, please, today. Can I ask you a question this morning, dear people? Do you ever wonder why hard times come to God's people? Do you ever wonder why hard times come to God's people? Why do we get cancer? When our Mrs. Smith walks from the organ down here in the steps, you may think she's just being a very appropriate lady in the way she walks down those steps, but she's losing her eyesight a little bit each day. And medically, there's nothing else that can be done for her, which doesn't mean things are over. It just simply means God has to do a miracle, that's all. Why do we have several of our young ladies in our church, young mothers, are battling some tremendous health problems? I mean, unbelievable things. Why? Listen to me this morning. Why? This last year, some of our folks just got wiped out financially. I mean, wiped out. Why do hard times come to God's people? Why are there struggles and battles in our life? Now, please understand, and I'm going to emphasize this again in a moment, it's not all hard times in this life. Would you agree? Thank both you Methodists. Thank you very much. I said, it's not all hard times, but they come. Do they not? I had a call this week from a preacher friend of mine. He was one of our interns here in our church back in our old building, Brent Strove. His six-year-old little boy, the cancer has come back. They're right now taking some pretty serious treatments, and if they can't stop it, it's going to kill him. And they're going to watch their six-year-old little boy wither away and die with cancer. Why do hard times come to God's people? We read a passage of Scripture in the book of Exodus about the children of God, God's children in Egypt. And the Bible says that while things were going very well, all of a sudden it just turned on a dime. And suddenly they went from being prosperous and blessed and multiplying and filling the land to being slaves. And the Bible says, well, I want you to keep your Bible open this morning. It's very important in Exodus chapter 1 because we're going to get some things from this today. It says in chapter 1 there, please, if you would, verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field, and all the service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Quite a jump from verse 7 where it says that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 14, they're in hard bondage. God's children were experiencing some hard times. Now, this passage of Scripture I was thinking on this week, and it helped me to understand why hard times come to God's people. Now, I want you to listen. I want you, number one, I want you to listen for yourself. Always listen to preaching for yourself. And have God point out some things to you in your life that you need to hear today. And He will, I guarantee you. Not because I'm a good preacher, but because God's Word has the answer for everything in life. But we need to settle that in our minds. Why do hard times come to God's people? Well, number one, it's because of this. It's not always been that way, though. In verse 7, it says, they prospered, were blessed, multiplied, fruitful. Hard times, listen to me. Hard times come to God's people. We better be very careful when hard times come that we do not make a serious mistake. And in our minds and our thinking, forget the goodness of God in our lives. Listen to me. When hard times come, it is very important for God's people to remember the good times of the many years and the many ways of God's blessings in our lives. Because if we're not careful, the hard times cause us to have a limited vision of things. Hey, when you're going through the valley, it's hard to see a mountaintop. When you're going through the valley, it's difficult to see the blessings of things. You can get very focused on those things and fail to realize, you know, there have been a lot of times when God has been very good to us in our lives. Would you agree? Okay, now listen to me very carefully. Can I ask you another question in relation to that? When the times were good, what did you do? What was your life like when times were good? Can I ask you a question? When there was bountiful blessings and God's fruitfulness upon your life and He prospered and blessed you and increased you. My brother, could I do me a favor? Would you take that little guy out just for a second? I know it's hard for you and him. Could I get you to do that? I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much. Now listen very carefully. Look at me. When the times were good and things were good, look at me this morning, and everything was right and health was good and money was in the bank and there was a job and there were things and nobody had any serious illnesses in your life. When it was good, my friend, when it was really good, what did you do with your life? You see, hard times come sometimes because God's people don't appreciate the good things of God in their life when they have them. And so hard times have to come to teach us to appreciate good times. I believe much of our difficulty in life comes from the fact that when things were good, we didn't live right. We cut our own path. We did our own thing. We lived our life our way. God was so far from our thinking and our living. It doesn't say that the children of Israel in that verse 7, it doesn't say that they were worshiping God and offering sacrifices obedient to the Lord. It just says, we'll look at it again. It says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Where are the worship places? Where's the altars here? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the giving? Where's the commitment? Where's the dedication? No, I'll tell you where it's lost. It's lost in financial increase. It's lost in material things. And I'm not against those things. And God isn't either. It's not money that's the root of all evil, friend. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And the truth is, when good times come, we are too often to forget our God and where it comes from and how we got Him. And so what does He have to do? Look at me. He has to reach in there, whoop, and pull that rug out from underneath our feet, bring us to the pit of hard times to say, but when it was good, where were you? To remind us of things. But I'm not saying that's the only reason for hard times. I'm saying it's part of it. But when hard times come, friend, can you look back on the good days of your life? Tell me that one year of physical problems outweighs 40, 50, 60 years of good health. See, our perspective gets messed up. It's natural. My preacher friend, Brother Strofe, this morning, who was a young man that we brought from the Bible college there and helped us in our summer months here, and unbeknownst to us, when I think we knew it anyway, we're training him to be a pastor someday. Now he's founded a church in the Bay Area and started a work there, and God's given him a good church and a little family, and the Lord's blessing him in his life. Now, short of a major miracle, he's going to lose his son. He's going to die. Short of a miracle, look at me. Short of a miracle, so people in this church, they're physically, something very serious is going to happen to them in their life. Can we remember, look at me, can we remember, however, the days that were good? And when we remember them, can we remember that we did right when God blessed us? See, sometimes hard times come because we don't do right when God blesses us. Sometimes hard times come just to remind us how good the good times really were. How blessed we have been in our lives, yes? Why do hard times come to God's people? I want you to hold your Bibles open, please, and look at verse number 8. We're going to give you several answers to the question this morning. Verse number 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Number two reason why hard times come to God's people is this, because of the new ruler of the day. This king is Pharaoh. Egypt in the Bible spiritually is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, who is the god of this world, the Bible says. Look at me, people. Sometimes hard times come to us because there is a god of this world named Satan, who takes particular pleasure in the destruction of people's lives. You watch those nature programs. Watch lions jumping on their victims. See how compassionate they are? When we were in Africa with some of our men, we drove through herds of animals. I was amazed when we drove through a herd of Cape buffalo. Huge animals, so muscle-bound, just massive-sized animals. I could not find one who did not have claw marks on his hindquarters, where lions were jumping on them and trying to rip them apart. Lions don't dispense tranquilizers for their victims, put them under anesthesia, carefully put them down with mercy. They eat them before they're even dead. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, sometimes hard times come because the ruler of this world today shows no mercy to the people in this life. And you know what, friend? If you are in this world and not instead of this world, you live in a world and this world is so much of your life that you've got to have it, then you get the ruler's mercy and grace, and he has none. Absolutely none. Sometimes our lives are made difficult because those around us decide to go out and live in that world and live under the authority of Satan in their life. Well, they don't make that choice. There's a few who are foolish enough to deliberately do so. But most don't. They just don't realize. That world out there, friend, you listen to me. That world out there operated by Satan, he is the god of this world. He's got his own spirit, his own religion, his own philosophy, his own attitude. And it's all about self and carnal and fleshly, worldly things. You live in that system, you get the ruler's mercy, and he gives no mercy to his people. The children of Israel were no threat to the Egyptians, but the ruler thought that they were, and he brought them under bitter bondage and hard labor for it. You say what you want to about a church like this that preaches separation from this world. But my dear friend, we're not trying to make you different. We're trying to protect you from a ruler that will do nothing but treat you like an animal would treat a victim, like a lion would treat one of his victims, and tear your life apart. Hard times come because of the ruler of the day. Hard times come because loved ones of ours, those close to us, children, parents, friends, decide they're going to live by the system of this world. And our life is made difficult because of him. And because they undertake that step in their life, and our hearts break for them. And we're sad for what happens. But let's give credit where credit is due this morning. It's the stinking devil, my friend. You understand that? It's not all him now. We'll keep going on reasons today. But hear me this morning. It's the devil's work in people's lives. Yeah, that's right, Pastor. It's the devil. It's the devil. You listen to me. He is real. And his intention and desire is not mercy. His intention and desire is to destroy. The Bible says a thief that breaks through and steals and robs from people. I don't want a taskmaster like that. I don't need him. And many times in our lives, those who are around us who make those foolish steps to live under this ruler find themselves under his harsh control. And in our lives are affected because of it. Why do hard times come to God's people? Verse 8, it says in Egypt, do you see the statement Egypt? Sometimes hard times come to our life because we're in this world. Do you understand? Egypt, a type of the world now. We're not talking about the earth. We're talking about the system. Cosmos is the word world in the Bible. And it means an ordered arrangement of things. Sometimes hard times come to us because of where we are. Look at me. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't be at home in this world anymore. I was telling my class this morning, I was preaching in Las Vegas this week. Played a little bit of golf in a snowstorm, but preaching in Las Vegas this week. I couldn't get out of the cotton picking airport fast enough. I wanted to hide out in my room. And I thought to myself, what is the matter with people? Why would they even care to live such a debauched life? And consider that vacation. Take a vacation and go live like filthy animals. Well, you're being judgmental, Pastor Johnson. That's right. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now listen, and I didn't condemn him for it. I'm just saying, why would anyone be interested in that kind of a lifestyle? Beyond my wildest comprehension. Look at me, friend. You understand, we don't fit here. This isn't our home. We don't belong in this world. We're just here as sojourners, it says in the Bible. That means somebody who's just passing through. And Hebrews says, pilgrims and sojourners. We're in a place that's not ours, and a world that's not ours, and a home that's not ours, and a place that's, this is not us. So you know what? While that world goes through the hard times they're in out there, we get some of that. Are you in Egypt? Are you of Egypt? Some hard times that remind us this is not our permanent home. Didn't take very much of this hard bondage brought upon the Egyptian, brought upon the children of God. Didn't take much for them to start crying out for a deliverance and to get out of that place. Can I ask you a question this morning? Our lives are good. God is blessing us. Mercy and grace abundant and new every morning. God's hand upon us in our lives. I'm not saying I'm unhappy and my life's not good. My life is wonderful. Thank God. I'm pleased. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm content. You're looking at a man today, ladies and gentlemen, that's got the best life on this planet. As that plane was taking off yesterday and we flew up over those mountains, and I thought, you know, I used to be an air traffic controller. Let me just encourage you with a thought. All that stuff they teach you about what to do in the event of a crash, 95% of you are not going to get to do anything. You're going to be snuffed out just like that. Makes you want to get on an airplane, doesn't it? Flotation device, pick up the seat and go to the door. That plane hits the water, you don't need a flotation device. You're going to need gills. I thought this plane goes to pieces, or one of these planes you could look out the window and see airplanes crossing underneath us and over us. Only need 1,000 feet of separation now. Plane was a smash into this airplane, I get pushed out into forever. Just like that, heaven. Just like that, home. And just like that, with the Lord. And just like, do you have that this morning? Are you sure, my friend, that you are a child of God and that you know Christ as your Savior today? Hard times come to us just because of where we are. We can't go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread without the world trying to shove some kind of junk in front of our faces. It's just hard to imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Pastor Johnson, then your life just must be misery and discontent. No, I'm a very happy, satisfied man this morning, but this is not where I belong. Hard times come because of where we are. Hard times come because of who we are. Look at verse 9 and 10. Look at the statement. And he said, Pharaoh, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. He said, we got these people who are not one of us. And that's right. I'm not. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Born again. I was walking to the airport in Sacramento heading toward the airplane where I was picking out to wait a little bit for the plane to take off. So I was walking around in the airport. You know, they need to outlaw Cinnabon. You get in the parking lot across the street and you can smell that place. Then you got to, I'm trying to walk around and exercise. I bought a thing of yogurt and some fruit. How about that, Coach? Bought a thing of yogurt and some fruit. And I got, every time I take a lap, I got to walk past Cinnabon where they're squirting stuff all over the top of those things with the pecans and everything else. And then I got to take another lap past Cinnabon. And a cup of coffee. Starbucks. People lined up all the way down the hallway and going to Starbucks. Don't drink coffee, didn't eat any Cinnabon. Turned a corner. There was Stephanie Snodgrass there getting on an airplane. Her husband used to be our youth pastor. He used to go to our church here. Just happened to see her. Hey, you running away from home, kid? What are you doing? Talked to her for a moment. She got on a plane, went one direction. I went the other direction. Wonder what it'd been like if she looked over and saw me doing something I wasn't supposed to do. Yeah, I was by myself. See, wherever I go, I'm a child of God. Wherever I go. So consequently, ladies and gentlemen, that makes things kind of difficult on us at times. We don't do what they do. We don't go where they go. Yeah, you Christians, that's what's wrong with you Christians. You think you're better than everybody else. I am no better than anyone, but my living is better than that stuff. Oh, yes, my friend. My living is much better than that stuff. So should yours be. None of us are perfect, but we ought to be better than the standard of the world in which we live. You know, because we are a child of God. The world should look at us and say, they're not like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. They don't walk like us. They don't go where we go. They don't look like we look. They don't act the way we act. They don't have the attitude that we have. God will bless you for it, but it will bring hard times. They'll make fun of you. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that is so painful. Oh, it cuts you deep to think that somebody would make fun of you who can't keep their life together, can't do what they're supposed to do, have to have pills to go to sleep at night and get up in the morning, but they make fun of you. Not me, pal. Hard times come because of who we are. Hard times, look at verse number 12. Hard times come, but God still blesses us, yes? Look at verse 12. In verse 7, they multiply, but look at verse 12. Now they're being, between verse 7 and verse 12, Pharaoh's starting to put the pressure on him, and now he's going to bring him into slavery and subjection. Now they start living under hard and bitter bondage. And look at verse 12. But the more they afflicted him, the more they cried, and the more they moaned, and the more depressed they were, and the more sorrowful their lives were, and the more burdened they were in their lives. No! The Bible says, and the more they afflicted him, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. They still grew. They still increased. God still blessed them. They still went forward in their lives. Hard times come to our lives, ladies and gentlemen, so God can show us when the hard times come, He can still bless you, and He can still take care. You say, well, what's the point, Pastor Johnson? Why be a Christian? Christians go through cancer. Christians go through troubles. Christians go through battles. Christians go through difficulties, and the world has the same stuff. So what's the point? The point is, while they were in hardship and bondage, they still grew, they still multiplied, and they still increased. Did it say that about the Egyptians? I'll take the hard times with the hand of God in my life. I'll take them. I'll take whatever comes down, whatever happens, I'll take it. Just so long as I know my God will still reach down and help and encourage and strengthen and bless and provide and lift and do all the things that only God Almighty can do in my life. I'll take it. I'll take the hard times with the hand of God. I'll take them. Because the hard times show us that God can still bless us, even in the hard times. So, Pastor Johnson, I'm going through all kinds of stuff in my life, and I'm not seeing any blessings in my life. Well, number one, are you looking correctly? Number two, are you able to be blessed? Or have you sold out to Egypt? Hey, friend, you sell out to the world, you get what the world gets. And you don't get the hand of God. And you don't have that in your life. Don't look up at God and say, hey, what's this all about? Look around you and say, oh, this is why. You can't live by the world, in the world, and of the world, and not expect the problems in this world. That's why the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Why? And he says, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I tell you why, because the hand of God is upon your life. So if my preacher friend's six-year-old boy withers and dies with cancer, what does that mean? It means the Son's waiting for them in heaven. It means God is going to refine and purify that young couple and that little family. A little girl too. Refine and purify that young couple and that family and strengthen them and increase their faith. And when they come out of this, when they're tried and purified, they shall forth as gold, as the Bible says of Job. And there'll be so many benefits of it that you won't even be able to imagine. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Somewhere in the mix of all this, a few weeks ago when I went back for Mrs. Gomez's funeral, a pastor friend of mine, his wife was my age, died of cancer, 6 months from diagnosis to death. Her adult sons, Joshua, the young man that was with us here in the motorcycle accident, patch over his eye. So I walked by his mother's casket, and her body there, and her son standing the other side. Boy put his head right here on my shoulder and he just wept. I said, somewhere in all this thing, Joshua, I believe God will help us to understand the why and the what of it. Till then, the grace of God is sufficient, son. You just hang in there. I'll take the hand of God in the hard times in a minute. Just so long as I know the hand of God is still there. And while they were brought under rigor and difficulty, the Bible said they multiplied and increased. It says also in verse 12, at the end of the verse, it says, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. You know why hard times come? Because of those who are around us. It's not that God is trying to rub his blessings into the noses of this world. God's trying to use your hard times and how you handle it to show the world who lives around you, this is how a Christian deals with this stuff. This is the way a child of God handles this. This is how somebody gets news and troubling news from doctors and have no answers. This is how it works. This is how we stand beside the grave of a loved one and say a parting goodbye and know it's parting and not permanent. This is how it works. This is how we lose a job. This is how we lose things financially. This is how our health breaks. This is the way we do it. And the world looks at us and says, you know, I made fun of those people, but they got something I don't have. Oh, yes, my friend. And that something is a somebody, and that somebody is Jesus. And they need him. And they need him. And they need you to handle it right. So when you do, they'll say, you know what? I want what you have. When the children of Israel would cry out for deliverance, and God would raise them up to Moses, and he would lead them out. When they left Egypt, the Bible said they went with them a mixed multitude. You know who that was? Egyptians. Who watched their Israelites go through all they went through. And when they got ready to be delivered, these Egyptians looked at their Egypt and looked at the people of God and they said, I think I'll take the people of God here. Hey, there's a mixed multitude out there today. They're not happy with what they have. What they've got, it's not working. And hey, friend, look at me. And it will never work. But look here, when you go through hard times and they see God's hand upon your life and they treat you like a Joseph and throw you into a prison, but God is still with you. And they see that God brings plagues upon a nation and humbles a king and they see how you handle it. They'll say, you know, there's something real about this Christian stuff. This isn't just religion. This is God. hard times come to God's people. I don't always understand it. I don't know how many times I've said in the last year and a half, 2 years, that statement made by Curtis Hudson, a preacher who himself went to heaven from cancer. He said, you cannot always trace God, but you can trust him. I don't always get the program God has. Doesn't always make sense to me. Timing, why this one, why this, why that. I don't always get the picture. Look at me. But I know this. We go through hard times just like everybody else does. Can I ask you what the reasons are, though, this morning? Is it because we forgot how good it was and we forgot about the hand of God and he had to put us through the hard time valleys to show us that we've taken his hand for granted in our life? Is it just to teach us how good it is when troubles come? My dad used to say when we'd hurt ourselves when we were little, he'd say, it feels better when it stops hurting. Yep, and rub dirt on it. I never forgot what that was all about. But it feels better when it stops hurting. Just to have them go away and then realize, this is good stuff right here. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please, this morning. Why do hard times come to God's people?